Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. In the main hall in the Coburg Best Western, Mike and Ingrid Aird are sitting at a table taking notes. They are listening intently to an expert panel talk about protecting farmland in Northumberland County. They care deeply. The future of agriculture is very important to the family's farm located on Community Center Road, just east of Baltimore. They own what is called a farm-to-table operation. That means they raise beef, chicken, and turkeys, which they sell in a retail store on their property. They also sell eggs and other specialty items. Their approach is unique based on organic, sustainable methods that break many of the traditional norms. On today's show, you will hear about their farming practice, but more importantly, you will hear their concerns and why they are so interested in what the expert panel was saying about saving farmland in the county. I'm so pleased to have with me today Mike and Ingrid Aird, who operate Aird Family Farm. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we get into a lot of details, can you please give us just an overview of the Aird Family Farm?
Well, we're on Community Center Road, just outside of Baltimore, about 6 kilometers. I'm the fifth generation farmer on this farm. And my son, he lives here with us as well, so he'll be the sixth generation. We're taking our farm in a little bit different direction with our regenerative farming. So our mainstay is Black Angus beef cattle. And then we've also introduced meat chickens. We have laying hens, but we're doing everything regeneratively. So that's the direction we're going.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about what you mean by regenerative, because when I was reading your website, I saw you use the words natural and sustainable, and I'm curious as to what those three terms mean and how it impacts what you do.
I would say that in my own words, it would be, when we say regenerative, it's like we rotate the animals through the land so that they don't deplete the microbes and the soil and the grasses, and it just allows it to bounce back even if we have a drought. They still grow. We separate it. We have we moved into acreage. We have separate paddocks that we created, and we rotate them through that, and they come back to their first paddock about 30 to 40 days. And so even if, like I said, even if we have a drought, the microbes are doing their jobs, and so the grasses bounce back, and the cattle has a lot of grasses to eat.
How is that different, Mike, from other operations that would be raising the same kind of livestock?
It's been done in the past, like they call it conventional grazing, which means you just, if you have a 20-acre field, you just put the cattle out on the 20-acre field for the season. What we're doing is we're taking that 20-acre field and dividing it into 10 paddocks or 12 paddocks, and then we put them on for so many days each to make sure that the grasses get a rest. When you're doing the conventional way, which is the 20 acres at one time, the cattle will go back to the same spots all the time because they find an area that they like. But what ends up happening is if it's, say, it's a clover or an alfalfa there, they eat it down until they basically kill it. The way we do it is they will still eat that alfalfa or clover, but because we take them off of it, clover has 30 days or 40 days to grow back. So that's the difference between a conventional way of doing it or a rotational way of doing it.
And what's the advantage to doing that?
Well, what happens then is that if you put your animals in the conventional way, they'll only get that alfalfa or clover or whatever it is that they're liking they'll only get it a minimal, then they'll have to push on to maybe like a weedy area that's maybe not as good quality. Whereas when we do it, when we rotate away from that, they're going to have grasses, legumes, the alfalfa, all the time. So because we're moving them, it's always growing back. So they're always getting that fresh alfalfa or clovers or whatever it is.
Ingrid, you had something you wanted to add.
The difference when you ask about how it's a change with the market, like once we get it to market, the big difference is, like, as you are aware, the cattle are ruminants. And so they are meant to eat grasses. And so by us providing them the grasses, they help us and we help the cattle. They get, the cattle becomes very healthy, meaning that we don't have to seek a vet all the time because they're so healthy. They're getting healthy, they're growing, and we're getting good omegas by having it 100% grass.
One of the things you promote is the idea of farm to table. Now, what does that term farm to table mean for those listeners who may not understand? Who'd like to answer that?
Yeah, so farm to table is, so we grow it here on the farm and we sell it at our store. We have a store right here on the farm and we sell it right from the store. So we don't go out and like to farmers markets or anything like that. So when we sell it here on the farm, they call that farm gate. So not only are we farm to table, but we're farm gate too. So that way, when people come here, they have the opportunity to see our operation. If they want to call us in advance for like a tour, we could do tours and stuff, but we don't do tours like spur of the moment, just for like biosecurity reasons and stuff. So, but that's what farm to table is we grow it here and then we sell it to the consumer right from our store.
How does that work?
No, we have to go to a licensed abattoir, which is out in Roseneath. So we have to go to them for our beef. And then we also have to do chickens. We have to go to a licensed abattoir for that as well.
Now, my understanding is that you raise your cattle differently, as you've just described to us. But there's a particular way that you finish the cows. Can you walk us through that finishing process? You've talked about how it's different, but just the different stages, you know, maybe from calf to being market ready, and how it is different, what you do, again, from the conventional way.
So the most important things, as I mentioned, is like the cattle are ruminants. And so by us having a ruminant animal, they eat the grasses, the pasture legumes. And when they have calves, because we have a cow-calf operation, when they have a calf, that calf is already understanding that at a certain age, it's going to start eating legumes. And it can process it and digest it. So the cattle digest the legumes on the fourth stomach. And that's when they take the nutrients and the rest goes out. By having it so that it's going on the pasture and they're eating the pasture legumes, that animal that we grow for beef is then separated from the mother at one is of age, and then it's moved to a different, our other farm that we have, where it's grown for beef. So the bull does not get any connection with that son or daughter. It just gets moved out of the picture. And at that point, then they start eating the grasses, and it just gives you a better quality product at the end.
Just mention winter.
In the winter, we do give them our hay that we grow on the farm. We don't spray any of our land, so it's all natural, and that's when we refer to all natural, sustainable. It's our land is completely clean, and then when we grow our hay, the cattle doesn't have access to the hay fields. They have their pasture fields, and we have our hay fields, so we separate them as well. So you end up with a really good quality product at the end. That cattle has not been fed any grains, so therefore it doesn't get any sugars, and so that fat that you get from the grains does not is not in the picture. You're not getting that omega sixes that are not good for us. You're getting only the omega-3s and very little omega-6s.
It's my understanding in a conventional farm that beef cattle, they graze in, as Mike described, in these large fields. They eat, but then they bring them in at the end for a very short period of time and feed them grains, and that's what fattens them up, gets them to size. Am I correct in that, or am I misunderstanding the process?
No, Mike? that is the conventional way of doing it, and that's what Ingrid's been explaining. Like the cattle are ruminants, so that. What a ruminant is an animal that can survive on grasses only. Their stomach can do that. So there's not a lot of animals, like there is other ones, sheep, goats, deer, moose. They're all ruminant animals, and they're meant to just eat grasses. So when you introduce a grain to that animal, what you're doing is it's like a carbohydrate to us, which turns into a sugar, which converts to fat. And so like you said, is when they put those animals in those feedlots for the last period of time, they do get fatter. Well, we're not looking to fatten our animals up. What we want is to have a natural animal, and how that animal ends up is what we end up as a product to sell at our store.
Talk to me about chickens. I love the pictures of the chickens on your website. They're out in the grass, and it looks like the grass is just about as tall as they are, and it made me laugh. They look like they're having fun. Now, tell us about this and how you raise your chickens.
So now the chickens, we do have to get the chickens from off-farm. So we get them as day-old chickens, and then we raise them up inside the barn for 3 weeks, and that's so that they can get feathered out so they can actually survive outside in the weather. And during that time when they're inside, they're getting a starter feed, which is an organic starter feed that we get. Once they get outside, they do forage on the grass, as well as any bugs that they get or anything like that. But then they also have to be fed, because they aren't a ruminant, they have to be fed some grains so that they can get their proteins and calcium and everything else, the minerals they need. So while they're out on grass, they are fed a supplemental organic feed. And then we do put them on the grass, and then daily we move them to fresh grass. So they're doing the same sort of thing as the cattle. They're eating down the grasses, leaving their manure behind to fertilize it. And then we usually leave the chickens so that they don't go on the same piece of grass for 60 days before we put them back on. So when we have some chickens, when they go off to the processor, the next batch that we will have in won't go on that piece of pasture, but the next one after that can go on there, as long as it's 60 days after.
Now, I understand, Ingrid, you have different types of chickens. You have some that lay eggs, and then you have some that do meat. Can you tell us a little bit about the different chickens and how that's significant?
So we have the laying hens, which are the Rhode Island Reds, Red Sexlings. And I also have new ones that are Azure Blues, and they lay blue eggs, the blue eggers. So they pretty much are, we get them when they're like ready to lay. And we do have a cycle with them because they do stop producing eggs at a certain point. So nothing goes to waste. We have a French bulldog that eats raw is on a raw diet, and he enjoys those chickens. And then with the meat chickens, those are the ones that Mike's talking about, where they get moved. So the laying hens as well get moved. They go to fresh paddocks all the time as well. They get rotated every 2 days. They get moved to a new piece of land paddock so that they get fresh grasses. And again, they don't come back. We follow the same principle with the chickens and the turkeys. They don't come back to the same paddock until it's completely, it's been 60 days before they come back. We just want to make sure that they are healthy, because when you have healthy layers, and we do supplement them with certified organic feed. We do have a local certified Lonesome Farms, which they grow their own wheat and whatever. And then we buy it from them, and we actually mill it in our property as well for the laying hens and the meat chickens.
You alluded to there as you were talking about raising turkeys. I understand that these are a crossbreed between wild and domestic.
So we have the orlop bronze, which is a heritage bird. What it is like the mother is, it was brought from England in the 1800s. And then the wild turkey, it was mated with the wild turkey. So then that's how they created the orlop bronze. So their meat, they're very similar to the wild turkey. They grow the same way. They've got bronze feathers and they're really pretty. And they just produce excellent quality meat.
Part of our conversation, you've talked about having a store that people can come to on your property that they can buy meat, et cetera. But there's also some other things that you sell beyond the meat. And one of the things that caught my eye was the pickling, that you actually have a family recipe that's been passed down. Tell me about this family recipe and these pickling, these jars of pickles that you create.
So they have been passed down, and I can't tell you the recipe, but it's a secret. I've been told to swear not to give it away. So we produce, we get certified organic cucumbers. Sometimes we grow them. Sometimes we get them from a local grower that will grow them for us. And then we pickle them. We have dill pickles, bread and butter. And then from that, I get the leftover and I make the relish. And then I also grow my own garlic and my own dill. So everything is from the farm. And then I just put it into the jars. And I also do pickle beans, depending on what I'm growing. Asparagus in the early in the season, I'll do pickle asparagus. Or pickle eggs. Like if I have a lot of eggs and I want to use them, I kind of reuse everything that I have on hand.
Mike, you seem very transparent about all the things that you do. Why is that such an important principle as to how you run the farm?
Well, I don't even know how to answer that, but I just feel that being open like that is makes the product that you're growing, should make the person buying the product, I should say, more secure in what you're doing, because we have nothing to hide. So why not put it out there for everybody to see? That's, I actually hope people want to see, because then they can actually know where the product's coming from and how it's being grown. So.
You obviously focus very heavily on being organic and the sustainability. You've talked a lot about that in our conversation. Where did you encounter, Mike, these values, and what drives you to keep them and to adhere to them?
It's kind of a neat little story. Is about 7 or 8 years ago, was our son, actually, before we had some cattle, we didn't have very many, and he started telling us or talking to us about the ruminant and things like that. And so then we started talking about how we're eating, what we're growing. So it was just a long conversation with the family. And once we started doing more research, and we did a lot of soul searching on that, and we just thought, well, there's no other way to do it. So it was a family discussion that brought us into where we are now. And it's just been growing ever since. Once we found out how good rotational grazing is, and then not working the land. That's another part of the regenerative farm, is that we don't work our land at all. If we want to add anything, we just overseed. So that just means you take it by hand, throw it out, or we feed it to the animals. And when the animals drop their manure, the seeds are in the manure and it grows. So it's just been an ongoing extension of one thing to another. So.
I want to talk to each of you about your story. Now, Mike, let's start with you. What was it like growing up on the farm? Did you always want to be a farmer?
Well, when I was young, it was very, I'd say tough, was because we didn't have many mechanical things. And we had a tractor, but then there was still like a lot of square bales to do. Today we use round bales, so it's much easier. And we had a lot of animals back then, so it was a lot of work. Back then, I wasn't that interested. But as I was growing up, and saw the importance of it, I definitely wanted to come back. I did move away, and that's where I met Ingrid and stuff. But so I was off the farm for several years, going to college and then working and different things. But my thoughts were that I was going to come back to the farm for sure. I didn't know what capacity at the time, but I'm very happy that I made that decision though.
So when you were away, what kinds of things did you do? What kind of career did you have?
I was in security my entire career. So I worked at some hotels, I worked at casinos, and my last part was at Ontario Power Generation.
And how long ago did you come back to the farm and start doing the farming again?
Well, we built our house here on an acre lot on the farm 18 years ago. So I started helping my dad at that time, but like started helping him again with what he was doing. And then Ingrid and I actually took over the farm 7 years ago.
Ingrid, how about you? Where did you grow up, and did you always want to be a farmer?
I know. I was actually, I grew up in a city. I met Mike in a city. I am actually a travel agent, and I do conventions and group departures and all kinds of things. Travel and conventions being my forte, and that's what I went to school for. But when I met Mike and I started understanding about the animals, I got involved with the animals. I got involved with the chickens, and I kind of looked after them, and I was very interested on their health and what we were eating, and started investigating more about what's in the food. And we wanted to eat healthier. So I really got involved a lot. So I do both now. I do the farm and I do travel.
You recently attended a forum on protecting farmland in Northumberland. I'll start with you, Mike. What were some of the takeaways that you had in listening to at that forum?
Oh, there's definitely a lot of high conversations going on there, which was really interesting to us. But one thing that I thought was kind of neat was the land trust. We've actually got a neighbor here that put some of their land into a land trust, so we're actually kind of looking into seeing what might take part in that. One other thing was just the fact that the governments are opening up so much protected land, like the Oak Ridges Moraine, and that it's kind of mind-boggling that they're doing that when it's protected for a reason. And also that farmers, I can't remember what bill it was now, like Bill 97, I think it was, where you could build three additional lot or houses on your farmland. Again, that doesn't sit well with us. Not that we're going to do it on our properties, but it would be terrible to see something like that in the neighborhood that out here, because we have a lot of farms out here. And if each farm started building three houses on it, it would be not to what we're looking for to be in the country, that's for sure.
Well, for me, I kind of was a little bit disgruntled with it, because I don't agree with building of houses in the farm. Like, I think the farmland should be left as farmland, and there's other places where they can build, and the Oak Ridges Moraine should be left alone. So it's just mis feelings with it. Like, I just don't know. I don't know that I am on board with the building of extra houses. And the problem that I see happening too is that if you have houses built on farmland beside where you have animals, those individuals that live on those houses will then complain, because they'll say, oh, now it smells bad because you've got cattle beside my house. And then it creates issues. And then what was going to happen to that farm then? Is it going to be shut down because now you have residentials mixing with a farm? So I see that as a problem.
Mike, are the various levels of government doing enough to protect prime agricultural lands? Why or why not?
I hadn't really looked into it too much before, because we were protecting our own lands, and that's kind of what I was concerned about when we were doing stuff. But after listening to everybody at that meeting, it appears that the government is not doing enough to protect the land. So that's my most investigation I've done was through that meeting. But I'm definitely we're definitely going to go to more meetings and find out more about how we can help, or I don't know, petition or whatever it is to protect the lands.
Is there anything you'd like to see done locally in Northumberland? Anything in particular that you, after listening to all of this, you'd like to see them do?
I would like to see them follow through and actually represent the farmers. So that if there is, if we're saying that leave the farmland alone, they should go and represent us and state that leave the farmland alone. I would like to see more of that. I don't think I think they get involved with the politics and then it kind of gets dropped and they don't really focus on the actual issue, which is the farmland.
What does the future hold for Aird Family Farm? Mike, tell us.
Well, we're presently expanding because we're taking over another farm right now. So to us, there is expansion with the cattle. And if we can get our cattle up to a higher number, then we're also looking at expanding our chickens and that. So our son is very much involved with this as well. So the extra help we can get from him will kind of determine how big we can actually go. And so, yeah, the future is to expand, but continue learning what we're more regenerative ways. And we've actually just been talking about introducing another animal, but before we do that, I want to go see farms that are already doing it, just so we ourselves aren't overworking ourselves, but we're working in a proper manner for the animal and for ourselves.
Mike and Ingrid Aird, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
That was Mike and Ingrid Aird, owners of the Aird Family Farm. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.